One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What is going on out there, everybody? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And always, beside me, the man that needs no introduction, but I somehow find a way to squeeze him in, Mr. Kyle Filio.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in studio, Skeleton Studios, right before Halloween.
All Hallows.
Very excited. This is one of my family's favorite holidays. I used to love it as a kid. My parents used to go all out when I was a kid. We had big time Halloween parties every year.
Those were great parties.
We lived in the country. My father and uncles would put on a hayride, you know, where we'd pull it with the tractor, and they would have stations and they would have different things. And it was just, you know, fond memories as a child. Yes. Growing up. And I guess that's kind of epigenetics or whatever they call it, where it's passed down to your offspring, because Luke, he loves Halloween. I mean, he's a festive person anyways. He's kind of like my wife. She's very festive. No matter what it is, from Valentine's Day to Easter, yeah. I mean, like, they're all festive. But Luke, by far and away, loves Halloween. He's been talking about it for months. And, you know, everybody knows that listens to the show. He's into monsters. He's good friends with Lila Blackburn, which is Lyle Blackburn's daughter. And, yeah, man, he's already transformed 4 different costumes just in the last month. So people keep asking me online and on Instagram and stuff.
What's he going to be? What's he going?
It could be many things. Started out, he was going to be Chucky. So we ordered him a Child's Play costume. The outfit was pretty awesome, but the head, the mask was kind of cheap. So we thought, well, we'll just get a aftermarket different mask to go in combination with that. But while doing that, he decided he wanted to be Jason Voorhees. So some people might have seen him already.
Yeah,
he entered in a costume contest as Jason Voorhees. And then he was going to be Killer Clowns from Outer Space. So we bought that costume and he got the gun and everything. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a quite terrible, but Luke likes it. But just yesterday, the school announced that at school, if you want to on Friday, that you can wear a costume as long as it's tasteful. So him and my wife are headed to Target right now to try to find a Star Wars costume. He wants to be Boba Fett. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that because he's waited to the last minute.
That's true. Yeah.
Most of those racks have already been picked through. Luckily for him, he has a Darth Vader costume already. He could wear.
He has a plethora.
Dude, he has a whole tub of different costumes. Without lying, I would say he probably has 25. From Iron Man to Wasp, you know, all the Marvel guys.
Yeah.
Then he's got lots of Star Wars guys. Then he's got monsters. When I say monsters, I'm talking about like Pinhead from Hellraiser.
That's who he needs to go as tomorrow.
I told him that. It could be that or like one of the Cenobites.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But all that stuff. So
like we talked about, they have every year over in the Metroplex, is it called Texas Frightmare?
The one in Dallas?
Yeah, and it's like a big horror convention. And Tom Savini is always over there. And Lyle and Sandy and him know Tom. And like, we need to go and take Luke.
Dude, Luke
so
would
Luke
love
could
that.
Meet Tom Savini, because that's what Luke's going to do.
Yeah.
He's going to be a special effects guy.
If computers don't do away with that. But even today, maybe it's because of my age, but I still like the actual props versus CGI,
yes,
right?
100%.
It just looks better.
100%.
That's why I like American Werewolf in London. The first one looked better than the second one, because the second one was, they were in Paris.
Yep.
It was all CGI.
Not a fan.
It's garbage.
I like CGI for backgrounds.
Sure.
Like for if it makes it look like you're in some crazy mountainous region and you're really not. And I like that. Or like the dragons or something. I get it. But for something like a creature, I like the physical creature.
I mean, I know it's not real, but just still does something for me. Like when I watched Benicio del Toro transform in the movie The Wolfman, it looks good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look as good as The Howling.
Doesn't look as good as American Werewolf.
No, it just doesn't.
Does not.
You know, there's other good movies like Bad Moon and stuff. The transformation scene with the CGI, it's just
the transformation scene is the big reveal. It has to be the best it can possibly be. That's what you want to see. And physically, I like it. I know it looks hokey. I know people that have seen the movie are like, oh, yeah, but American Werewolf, it looks hokey. Yeah, but it didn't in the 80s.
No, and you know what? One of the greatest things they did is not overshow the creature. I think that was brilliantly 100%. Shot. Yep. You see that it's filmed from its perspective. Remember like when it's chasing the guy in the London tunnel?
Or it's moving around in the moors.
Yeah, but you only see like the head, shoulders forward. There's only like one scene where you see it like moving. Full body, right? Yeah. So, I mean, it's, once again, it plays with your mind, fills in the gaps.
Well, speaking of werewolves, fill in the gap with this. This took place in Freestone County, Texas, back in April of 2016.
Okay.
About 6:45 in the morning, it says, I was out at my grandparents' house hunting coyotes as usual this time of year. I was hiking through my next door neighbor's land to get to the wood-covered land in the back. Now, while I was hiking, I got the feeling I was being followed by something on my right. So I stopped and I switched the red tint on my headlamp to my spotlight. I didn't see anything. So then I switched back to my headlamp, pulled my rifle back up, and continued to hike. It was 6:15 in the morning and the sun was just coming up. I was sitting in a hide that I had made the day before. And that's when I saw something behind a group of trees on my left, and this thing was crouched down. I raised my rifle to look through my scope, and I froze when I saw this creature. It was staring back at me. I panicked, and I fired off a shot.
Yeah.
Now, that's when it stood up and took off deeper into the woods. I sat there for probably another 25 minutes before I decided it was safe to head in, and then I did so. Now, later that day, I grabbed my grandfather, and we both went back out to the site where I had seen this thing stand up. And this thing stood on two legs when it ran off. Said I measured where we had seen it or where I had seen it.
Right.
And it was roughly 7.5 feet tall. Says to this day, I'm terrified to go out at night or in the early morning hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
So 4 years have gone by and this person coyote hunting, which always usually takes place. It's real good in the spring because, of course, that's when the fawns are being born. But now after that encounter, early morning hours, anything in the dark won't go out and really deal with.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean, and some people can say that this was a black bear. It is Texas. There are black bears in East Texas.
Yeah.
Not a ton of them, but they're seen from time to time.
But they don't run off on two legs.
The bears don't run off on two legs. That's exactly right. Bears do stand up on two legs, but if they run off, they go back to all fours.
And we've all seen the movies or the videos of them walking.
Yeah.
And the way they kind of, it's not fluent. Or fluid, at the way they move.
I mean, I've seen them ride a bicycle. That's back true. When they used to have a thing called circuses.
That's true, yeah.
Do they do away with those all worldwide, or is it just here in the U.S.?
I don't know. Probably worldwide. Well, saying, like, no, they're probably somewhere in the world.
Like if you're in the United Kingdom, do you guys still have the circus?
I bet. I don't know. They may. I mean, yeah.
But they don't do it anymore.
There was a video of a bear riding a bike or a motorcycle and a chimpanzee riding one too, didn't it? Mm. And the chimp kept messing up or knocking it down. Didn't the bear get off and I think killed the chimpanzee in the middle of a circus?
Those monkeys though, those little ones, they just look annoying. Like there's videos of them. They're always like, I feel sorry for the people that live in areas of the world where they exist. Like they steal tools. They get into stuff. They pull wiring out.
You know what they make me think of? Every time I see those monkeys, I think of the gremlins that you see on planes. Like we've done the stories about them. Yeah. It's like that's what they are because they're just in there to tear things up. Mm-hmm. And I guess those actually are like they're not apes; they're monkeys.
Yes, actually, yeah, monkeys, right?
Yeah.
And what is the one like? My Delee's grandmother wants one, and I'm like, I'm trying to talk her out of it. Like,
why?
I don't think so. I think she saw Indiana Jones, and I don't know,
right?
I'm like, did you see the video where the one ate the lady's face?
Yeah, right. Bit their fingers off.
That was a chimpanzee, a humanzee. It was on. What was she feeding it?
It was wasn't it taking like Percocet or something and drinking Xanax? Wine? It's Xannies and wine. It's a Xanny party with a chimp.
Not a good idea, folks.
Negative.
Not a good idea.
I like hyenas.
Yeah, I like hyenas too. Cam, have you ever been plagued with a nightmare, a reoccurring nightmare, or? Do you have a lot of nightmares or things like that?
No, I'm not one of the people. I don't really have. I've never. Now, of course, I've had them as a kid, but like I don't ever, as far as recent time, and I'd say in the last 20, 25 years, I don't remember having like a nightmare of like waking up being like, oh, God, what was that? I did have a dream when I was 15 or 16 years old that I was stuck in a burning vehicle. Ooh. And I remember waking up from that. And I don't know if it was the
stress. How old were you in the dream? Like this wasn't a premonition.
Same age. Oh, okay. No, same age. It was like I was 15 or 16. But I don't know if it was because I was, you know, I'd got my driver's license and, you know, there's a lot of stress on everybody when they get their driver's license. I don't know if it means what it used to, but when we were kids, it was a huge thing to get your driver's license.
Yeah.
But I remember that as having a dream there and burning in that thing and waking up and literally sitting on the side of the bed at like early in the morning. And like shook me right. The whole day.
I'm sure.
But that's the only dream that I can ever remember having like that.
I'm the same way. I mean, like I've had a few nightmares in my life, but for the most part, I just have dumb dreams that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But there are people that are plagued with a lifetime of reoccurring dreams, night terrors, things like this. This comes from one of our listeners in Hungary. They've emailed the show before, and they go by a pseudonym, I'm assuming. But they say, hello again, gentlemen. I'm just listening to your podcast called Strange Encounters that aired months ago on YouTube. It's strange to hear others have encountered these super dark shadow beings, but it's nice to know that I'm not alone. Anyway, here's another story about a nightmare I had with a demon. It happened about 2 years ago. So, in the dream, I was laying on my back in a medieval crypt on a stone estrade. I was dead, probably, as it seemed I was in the process of being prepared for a funeral. My wrists were crossed. I had a rosary wrapped around them and in my hands. The crypt had stone walls made of big bricks and boulders. It was lit by candlelight. The whole thing felt as if I was reviewing some memories from a past life. Rather, a past afterlife. I was a monk or a religious teacher of some sort. I don't know how to explain it. I just knew that I was. Like a firefighter knows he is a firefighter, if you know what I mean. Then I left the crypt, sort of zooming out and into total darkness. I had no body, no arms, nothing. Only total darkness, as in the depths of the cave, without any headlamps or anything. This is when I felt an insane amount of fear and terror. I think my body, in the real world, couldn't get enough air. I was probably lying in the same or very similar pose to the one in the dream where I was in the crypt. The lack of oxygen might have been induced by this fearful state in which my mind was in. I can only guess. So in this darkness, I felt something strangling me. Again, the association of not getting enough air in real life. And this thing slowly revealed itself, appearing as sort of a non- or neon light being out of the darkness. I was terrified. Its grip on my neck was really strong. It was on top of me, and I couldn't move. It was grinning. Then started roaring. Then started laughing. Leaning its eyeless, ill-proportioned head and putrid face close to mine. I felt my soul leaving my body, like this demon was drawing life out of me. I knew that I was going to die.
Ill-proportioned head, right?
Right? As a last but tremendous effort, remembering the rosary in my hands, I called out to God. I offered my soul, my life, and trusted the path he had given me. I said this out loud in my dream. God, I offer you myself completely. I trust you and whatever fate you have for me. I love you the same as I know you love me. With this absolutely honest confession, the demon instantly disappeared. I quickly regained my breath and woke up sweating, shaking, and cold. This was such a nightmare. I couldn't keep it to myself. I had to tell my older brother the very next day. He said he had a similar life force drawing demon in his dreams too. Maybe this is some kind of family heritage, I don't know. Maybe this monk is a common ancestor of ours. Was this nightmare created by not getting enough air because of sleeping in a bad pose, or the other way around? I was strangled in my dream by a demon, therefore not getting enough oxygen in real life. Did the demon really manifest this in its dimension, or only in my dreams? Sure as hell, pun intended, being in the crypt felt like a memory of an afterlife before this one. Peace, y'all. Lepidus.
Wow.
So, a lot of the story, of your story, I'm sorry, reminds me of the, what's the succubus or the incubus or the old hag syndrome where people feel like there's something sitting on their chest and strangling them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of similarities here. It doesn't describe it as looking like a woman, but describes it as being a demon of some sort, leaning really close with its putrid face to their face, laughing, grinning, seeming to enjoy the torment that it's giving you, the torture. I don't know. I mean, that's a scary dream. I've heard others tell similar stories. And also similar in the fact that once they believe, they start, you know, chanting to themselves a prayer, the Lord's Prayer, or just, you know, something about Jesus or God, like instantly.
Or just instant belief in themselves.
Absolutely. It seems to ward off this thing. If it was me and I was having a dream like this and I spoke to my brother or another family member and they too had a similar dream and I was plagued by nightmares a lot or shadow beings, I mean, first thing I would recommend is to try to find like a priest or holy person to come try to bless your house with sage.
You'd be trying anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't just sit there because...
Look at what you've brought into the house. Maybe you brought something in that was with it.
Go get a sleep study.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just suffering from sleep apnea or something. I don't know.
Stories like this have always made me think about whenever we have young people that die in their sleep and there's no natural, like they were like, well, there's no known cause of death. They just died. It always makes me wonder if this was something to it. You know what I mean? Like, is there a thing going on to where whatever this thing was kills a person in their dream or in their sleep, something more demonic that they can't shake, and you die in the real, and that's the way it is? Because there's tons of people that die in their sleep from no reason. Like, they're like, well, we don't really know why. Just, you can chalk it up to whatever, but maybe this is why.
I have to ask, in Hungary where you live, is the street you live on perhaps Elm Street?
No.
Maybe it's Negative. Freddy Krueger. Remember, he kills you in your dreams.
That's right.
Could be.
That could be. Very well, yes.
Well, on this Halloween special, folks, we are going to do things a little different. We've been, of course, advertising our call-in number. If you have any stories of your own you'd like to share with me and Cam, we ask you to either email us or you can call in. The number's 888-393-BRUD or 888-393-2783. Yes, I'm reading the number. I don't have it memorized yet.
I will never get it memorized.
It is kind of a new number, but people have been calling in, and I thought for Halloween it would be pretty cool to listen to a few of these stories. And so we're going to do that. So let's take a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to get into some of these spooky Halloween stories. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And we are back. Well, it's that time of year again, folks. Time for Halloween. Time to dress up, to possibly go trick-or-treating, depending on where in the world you live. I know that here in North Central Texas, it's about 50-50. Some people are electing to stay home, and others are saying the hell with it. We're going out. As far as me and my family, we're going trick-or-treating. It's one of Luke's favorite holidays. Heck, it's one of mine too. Along with dressing up, it's the time of the year for spooky stories. So on today's show, I'm going to be playing some listener stories that have been sent in to us during the last few weeks. Remember, if you have a story you want to share with me and Cam, you need to email the show or call the hotline or record your story on your own and then email us the edited MP3. Also, we're in the process of putting together a book. So if you've got a cool story, not only will you get to hear it here on the show, but it might appear in the pages of our book, which would make a cool present
that you can give out to all of your friends. Anyway, let's begin.
Hi guys, it's Chris from Nova Scotia, Canada. I've got a Bigfoot story for you that I've had since I was about 10 years old. Didn't talk too much about it for a lot of years, but last couple of years I started telling a few people about it. But this would have been about 72, I think. I lived in a very rural area of Nova Scotia in the Annapolis Valley area of Nova Scotia. The first sighting I had two sightings. The first sighting was one summer day. I just happened to walk out on the front porch of my grandmother's house there, and was with my older cousin. He would have been about maybe 15 years old at the time. And like I say, I was about 10, I believe. And we looked out across the field there, and we could see some creatures making their way out across the field, which was about maybe a quarter mile away up on the side of a hill, and we could see, you know, you could see the open field there. And there was four of them, and they were all dark, like, you know, just black looking. Couldn't really make out, obviously, any facial features because it was too far away. We just watched these creatures go out across the field. And the thing is, they weren't bear. Two of them were upright on two legs the whole way across the field. And the other two, which looked to be smaller, were kind of going back and forth between being upright on their hind legs and being down on all fours and kind of chasing each other around the field. And so we just kind of stood there and watched these four creatures. I think we were both trying to figure out what we were looking at. We were both very familiar with the wildlife in the area and country boys, and we knew animals, and, you know, we just didn't know what we were looking at. So when they got to the edge of the field and they just went in the tree line and disappeared, I spoke and I said to my cousin, I said, you know, what was that? And I looked up at him, and he had a look on his face that I've never seen before on his face. And he just said to me, I don't know. And he definitely didn't want to speak about it. So that was that. There was no talking about it. I think he felt really uncomfortable about it, and I was just very curious. But I couldn't get any answers from him. So later that summer, I used to do a lot of dirt bike driving up there. It was a good area for that. There was a lot of trails, and I knew the trails well. And I was scooting along a trail one day by myself, and I noticed on the trail there was a rock that was a very unusual, large, white-colored rock. Looked sort of like maybe what you might find on a beach somewhere. It was definitely out of place where it was there on the trail. So I stopped my bike and I got off to look at this rock. And I picked it up, and I was standing there about 10 feet or 15 feet away from the bike. And I had it in my hand, and I was looking at it and trying to figure out how it would ever got up there in that area. There was no beaches anywhere close. And I heard something, just a little slight noise behind me. So I turned around quick. Excuse me. Turned around quick and I caught this thing. It was kind of making a step between one, several trees that were close together, and it was stepping away from them and over towards some other trees, and it was kind of in the middle of there, and it was pretty much out in the open when I turned around and seen it. And I think it knew that I seen it, but it had no choice, so it just kept moving, and it got in behind these trees that were a little bit closer in to where I was standing, but they weren't as filled out. So when it moved in behind these trees, I could still see it standing there, and it just stood up there behind these trees, and I could see the black and gray fur. It was a little bit of breeze going on there that day, and I could see the fur blowing around, the hair, whatever was, you know, whatever's on the thing. And I was just froze. I didn't know what to do. I knew not to panic. The only thing I could think about is I wanted to get out of there. So I moved. Eventually, I started moving towards my bike. And I got over there to the bike. And when I got over there by where the bike was, which was about, like I said, about 10 or 15 feet away from where I was standing with the rock, I was at a different angle, and I could see this thing even better. I could see the whole side of it, but it had its face really hidden up in the leaves. This was a summer day, and there was a lot of greenery there. So I couldn't really get a good look at it, and to tell you the truth, I don't think I really wanted to. I didn't want to look at the face. I think there was a part of me that was sort of listening to what I was told as a child. You don't look a predator in the face. You don't run from a predator. You know, and I was, certain things that I was taught how to act around wildlife. And so I think I had that going on at the time. So I get on the bike and... because I really wanted to go over, walk over that way, and I thought about it, but I was there by myself, and I was a fair distance away from the house or anybody else around me. So I really wasn't brave enough at that time to make a few steps in that direction. I don't know what would have happened if I had got a little closer, if it would have moved, or what would have happened. But anyway, that didn't go on. I get on the bike, and I started it up and just dumped the clutch and hauled out of there as quick as I could. I looked back a few times. I didn't see it coming out on the trail. And that was, I made tracks out of there, and that was the extent of that. I didn't want to see it anymore. I don't know what else to add to that. It was terrifying, the most terrifying thing I ever seen. There was lots of talk. People in the area at the time used to talk about what they called a freakishly large bear that they would see in the cornfields and running across the road with armloads of corn, and you know, running up out of the ditch and across the road in front of people and down the other side and into the woods, you know, with an armload of corn. And a bear they don't do that. They'll stand up on their hind legs a bit and walk, but they're kind of clumsy. And this thing was running like a person, like it was very comfortable on its hind legs. You're talking about 1972, where I lived. I don't think anybody really knew what the hell they were looking at. They were trying to figure it out, but I really don't think they knew. There was farmers in the area that knew things. There was one night my dad went looking for this thing with a couple other people that had seen it, and the farmer from down the road, he went with them because it was on his property where they were looking. And he said to my dad, he said, "Look," he said, "I'm going to tell you, we go up in there, he said, if you see this thing and shoot at it, and if you don't kill it, you're going to want to keep a bullet for yourself because you're not going to want this thing to get you. But anyway, I had this story conveyed to me by my uncle and my father about this incident. There was hunters in the area that used to always talk about strange noises they could hear up in the woods there that they sounded to them like a human infant. And they heard this a lot up in there, but to my knowledge, nobody ever tracked down exactly what was going on. I know they went looking, but they couldn't seem to find where this was coming from. So, you know, I believe they were up in there for a number of years. You know, it used to be sometimes there was a incidents where they would get into metal garbage cans that we had up on the front step. And, of course, that could have been a raccoon or a bear, but the thing is about it, I had a bedroom upstairs, and I remember a couple nights there, whatever was coming up there onto that front step was so heavy that when it hit that step, it shook the whole house, and it didn't seem to be very concerned about being quiet. So, you know, obviously a raccoon's not going to do that, and I don't even think a bear is going to do that. So, you know, it was just really weird. But anyway, that was the incidents I had. I have a couple of paranormal stories that happened to within my family over the years. Not a lot, but I have a couple. I'll call back sometime and get you those. And I really like your show. I've been listening since you started. I really appreciate what you guys do, and you have a good day. Thank you.
Wow, what an amazing sighting. Thanks for sending that in, Chris. I like the first sighting. I also like the second one when he was out riding dirt bikes. That's when he saw one. You know, I guess that one kind of rings with me because I used to ride dirt bikes a lot as a kid. Where I grew up, we grew up in the country. We had our own land, and me and my brother and our friends, we'd always get together, and we always had a couple dirt bikes in the barn that they could ride, as well as me and my brother's bikes. And so, who knows, while I was doing all that, maybe there was something peering behind a tree watching us. I don't know. It seems like these creatures were interested in what he was doing. And I like the part in his story when he says that he never really saw the thing, his face or anything, but he didn't really want to. I totally agree. You know, if you see something like that, it'd be etched into your mind. That'd be very terrifying. Well, let's move on to this next story. This comes from a guy named Ryan from Southern Missouri. And this took place in 2012, 2013, during rifle season for deer in Bollinger County, Missouri. Let's check it out.
Hey, this is Ryan from Southern Missouri. I've been a longtime listener of your show, several years. And I've got a story from, it's 2012 or 2013. It was a gun hunting weekend, you know, deer hunting. So second week of November, me and my father were hunting in a secluded area of Bollinger County in Missouri, which is Southern Missouri. We had a friend that bought property up there, about 2,000 acres. So this area was in a spot where you couldn't find it unless you knew where it was at. Nobody would ever find you, you know, kind of Southern Missouri woods was kind of like that. We were hunting, you know, most people don't realize that it's really loud in the woods. There's lots of birds and squirrels and turkeys and whatnot are chattering. All of a sudden it got really quiet, absolutely quiet. And so we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. And all of a sudden we were sitting like in a blind on the ground next to a small creek, not real wet, but you know, it gets shoes wet if you ran through it. So all of a sudden we hear behind us like little sapling trees being knocked into the water. Like, what the hell is going on? You know, it was like, choosh, 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 like right behind us. Like something was running through the water. And then we weren't looking around. We weren't going to look behind us because we were too damn scared, you know. It was something, whatever it was really big. And it was just pushing through these trees. And all of a sudden, it, you know, kind of got right behind us, and it made this weird noise. And I don't know. I'm going to try to recreate it. But it was something like this weird monster, like, it's the only thing I can describe it as, like this weird monster gibberish. We're like, what the heck is going on? We were going to look around, and us, I mean, the blind we were in was so small that I probably couldn't stand up or, you know, stretch my arms out. Just a little bitty cheap hunting blind. My dad's like, no, we are not turning around. You know, I did not want to see whatever was behind us because I didn't want them to see us. I didn't know if they realized that we were inside the blind or not. So, you know, it just ran through the water real fast. And then, you know, after it kind of stopped, we're like, you know, kind of looking around and stuff. And the little trees that had pushed over were sapling trees about 1 to 2 inches in diameter. So whatever it was, the strongest, all get out from these trees down. I couldn't have done it, you know, because they'd bend and whatever, but either they were ripping them out of the ground and throwing them into the water, you know, or maybe marking territory. But I don't know if it was a Sasquatch or what, or just a giant hog. Could have been. We've seen giant hogs up there, but I don't know if it would have made a noise like that or would have been able to knock those trees down through there. But that's my story. I kind of wanted to call in. That's the only experience I've had with a Bigfoot or anything like that. You know, I don't know if it was a Bigfoot, but that's probably what I would suspect it could have been. I did look on the BFRO website, and about less than a mile from where this incident happened was a Bigfoot sighting down on the Castor River. So the river runs back through there, and it was really, really close to where we were at, about a mile, 2 miles. So I just wanted to tell you the story. Hopefully it makes it to air. I think it'd be really cool. Keep up what you're doing. I love it. Thank you.
Wow, Ryan, what a cool story. Sometimes you don't necessarily have to see it to believe in it. You know, he's heard something moving through the creek. They were hunting on a 2,000-acre hunting spot. I'm not sure if it was public land or private, but it doesn't really make a difference. Something was moving around in the creek. And yes, he does throw out there that it could be a hog, but it didn't sound like it. And if he's familiar with the woods, which it sounds like he is, whatever they heard didn't sound like a wild hog. Also, this is quite common when people talk about everything in the woods going quiet, that there's a predator in the area. Similar story. Something in the creek. We know that I've heard numerous stories where Sasquatch or whatever, they like to be around creeks. They move with creeks. Those are like the highways, which makes sense. I mean, all living creatures are going to be near creeks and rivers. I mean, you got to drink, so makes sense. But anyways, very cool story. Let's move on to this next one. This person wishes to remain anonymous, so we'll call them Easy E. And he had a strange experience one time when him and his mother were moving out of a duplex, and he saw something floating down the stairs that was entirely black. Let's give that a listen.
Hi, my name is I would prefer my name not be stated on the air. So my story is I had an interesting experience in a house that my mother was living in at the time. It was moving out day. She was moving out of the apartment. It was a duplex, I should say. And when we were moving out, everything was pretty much packed. We were going to get up early the next day and just leave. So we had some makeshift beds, pretty much, some like blankets on the floor and a couch still there for us to sleep on. And I am laying on the floor. Like I said, I was a small kid. So I was laying on the floor, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I saw this thing floating down the stairs. And it was just black. It was a black silhouette, and it was just floating down the stairs. But I guess in my mind, I knew it was walking down the stairs, but really it just looked like it was floating down the stairs. And it began to evaporate, like disappear from the bottom up. Like as it traveled down the stairs, the bottom of it started to just disappear till it was completely gone. Now, by that time, I had thrown the covers over my head, and then the next thing I remember, it was morning. So I guess I went back to sleep. I'm not sure, but it was terrifying and one of the most memorable experiences of my life. I was truly scared. Never had any other paranormal experiences in that house that I can remember. And I have not had any other paranormal experiences in my life thus so far. So it was a very interesting experience. I don't know how to explain it or what would have been there. I guess it would have been nice to kind of do some research, but like I said, at the time I was a small kid. So anyway, so that's my story, and you guys are more than welcome to use it. All right, thank you. Bye.
Wow. Terrifying encounter, Eazy-E. I don't know what it is about the shadow beings, the Hat Man. They just seems very terrifying to me. And what's odd is most people who have these sightings, they continue to have them throughout their life, which is even scarier. I don't know why certain people can see them and others don't. I don't know why these entities terrorize certain people. Like, I don't understand the meaning of it. What is it? What do they want? And why do so many people see them? I've talked to people from all walks of life, men, women, successful people like lawyers or doctors, to people that are just plumbers or electricians, not putting those people down. I'm just saying all walks of life, even priests and pastors have all had the sightings of these shadow beings. And most of the time it goes back to their early childhood. I don't know, man, but they definitely seem sinister. Let's move on. This comes from, this is just a coincidence, folks. Another story from Nova Scotia. We might have to do a whole episode on Nova Scotia. But anyways, this comes from a listener named Justin. And this incident took place, ironically, near Shag Harbor, which is a very famous UFO case from the late 60s. And Justin was out. He's apparently a documentary filmmaker and was out in the area near Shag Harbor, still flying his drone, trying to capture some B-roll, when he spotted something odd-looking in the sky. Let's give it a listen.
Please feel free to use this story if you'd like. My name is Justin, and I'm from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. And on September 15th of 2018, something unusual happened to me. I was there on location in the south shore of Nova Scotia, doing a film about a guy who claimed to have seen a sea monster with his dad in 1976. So I was doing a short documentary about him and the others in town that had seen this thing, and I was wrapping up my shoot for the day. So I was looking for a place to launch my drone. I thought I would throw it up in the sky and get some great cinematography because the coastal sea line in this part of the world is just gorgeous. So I knew that there was this little lighthouse sort of down the way, and not little, a full-size lighthouse, and I would get shots of that. But as I was driving in that general direction, I saw a miniature lighthouse. I thought, wow, that would be weird. It was sitting on top of this outcropping of rocks on this little body of water, not necessarily connected to the ocean. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do a close-up flyby of this drone and get this great B-roll for the film. So I get my shot. I'm happy with that. I send a command to my drone to return to home. And I see it directly above me. Pretty far up, but I could still see it up there. I could make it out. And as it was beginning its descent back to its return position, I noticed something in the sky up there. My initial reaction was, oh, that's strange. There's a ping pong ball way up there in the sky. And I thought, well, that doesn't compute. I think it might be a plastic bag. Also, didn't make sense because it was directly above me and it really didn't seem to be moving. So I decided I'd throw my drone back up to see if I could get closer and get a good shot of this thing and maybe direct my cameras in that direction, or better yet, reach its altitude and film it straight on. But as my drone remade its ascent, my batteries were dead. All of them. They were all dead from being used. There was nothing mysterious about that. They were all on their last legs. So I thought, oh, well, that's convenient. So I returned my drone to home. And I thought, oh, you know what? I just invested in this telephoto lens. I think it was a 75 to 200 millimeter lens that I had used on a shoot for a documentary I'm shooting about Chris Stiles. And we were chasing the descendants of Jacques Cousteau's family into the ocean because they were filming a documentary on Chris, and I wanted that to be part of my bigger documentary. So I grabbed that lens, and I was like, thank goodness I had that packed. I put the lens on and took a shot of this thing in high definition, 1080p. 1080p, not 4K, so it wasn't the best possible resolution, but it was what I had my settings on at the time. I cranked it all the way in and took video images of this thing and took pictures. What it was essentially a sphere with sort of, you could make out a black ring around the whole edge of this thing as if it was like surrounded by a black hole on its perimeter, if you can try to visualize that. Then it had a white ring interior to that, and then interior to that, about 90% of the whole surface was like a sky blue with spokes inside that sort of look like a peace sign. Okay, so I'm freaking out at this point. I'm all alone in the middle of nowhere. It was a strange set of circumstances and accidents that even got me to this point, going all the way back to childhood, which is a really long story, but one I shared with people in Shag Harbor last year for a lecture that I gave that I won't digress into now. But that was odd. Just happening to be in this place shooting on location about a guy who saw a sea monster right down the road from the world's only government-documented UFO crash in 1967. Now, you have to remember that I was, well, you don't know yet, but I was actually also filming a documentary about this woman who was claimed to have been abducted by aliens for decades and has countless pictures of these things flying all around. This is all happening in that same area of Shag Harbor, which was strange enough. And then it's, you know, upon looking at this thing above me, the first thing that came to mind was a quote by, I think, Friedrich Nietzsche, when he said, I'm paraphrasing, but the longer or deeper you look into the mysterious, you need to be careful because the mysterious often peers back out at you. And I felt that somehow I was involved in some sort of Greg Bishopian ideal of co-creation, and I was poking my nose into business where it didn't belong, and this thing showed up above me.
Wow, Justin, thanks for sending that in. I don't know what you saw. Very odd. We hear about these tic-tac-shaped UFOs, whether it's, you know, pilot David Fravor, or we hear about these orbs and things people have seen. Even going back to the 60s, where it was described as egg-shaped craft. I don't know what it is. Is that like, you know, is that a UFO? I mean, like with inhabitants in it piloting it? Or is that some type of drone that's released by a UFO? Or is it a drone or something released by something terrestrial, something here on Earth? Like, I don't know, from China or something spying on stuff. I don't know. But that definitely seems to be an odd location. That area of Nova Scotia, for whatever reason, has a lot of sightings of UFOs. And like you were talking about, you were filming a documentary on somebody who saw a sea monster, sea creature. I might have to get you two in contact with Nick Redfern. We got one more here. This is from a guy named Marcus who talks about his possible La Llorona sighting. Let's check it out.
Hi there. My name is Marcos, and this is my experience with the Weeping Lady of Mexico back in 2005. My family and I, specifically my uncle, my aunt, and my middle brother, were going out to the fireworks, the equivalent of Mexico's 4th of July. We were going to see the fireworks and see the festivities. The town that we live in wasn't that big. Not that small either, but it was in Puebla, or the name of the city is called the Valley of Atlixco in the state of Puebla, south of the volcano Popocatépetl. Again, the name of the city is called Atlixco in the state of Puebla. We left our house around 11 or 10 p.m. We walked to the event. From there, we had to go by a school and an abandoned movie theater. The school and the movie theater were across the street from each other. It wasn't a big street. And we were already walking, going past the public school, when we all suddenly just stopped talking. There was a cold in the air that we couldn't explain. A chill, for me, example, a chill went down up from the base of my spine all the way to the top of my head. I felt like the hairs on the top of my neck just stand up. I couldn't explain why. I was like 13, 14 years, not even 15 years old. And we kept walking. And I was basically in the middle of the street. My middle brother was on the left of me. My aunt was to the left of him. And my uncle was closest to the school on the far left of the street. On the far right of the street was this lady standing on the far right sidewalk. I saw her white dress, her long hair, and her hair covering her face. I wouldn't say she was a tall lady. She was slim and her hair was covering her face. Imagine the girl from The Grudge, but you can't tell how old she is. You can just see the white dress, the black hair. Couldn't see her arms. I could only see her dress and her hair. She was standing on the side of the street that the abandoned movie theater was. The abandoned movie theater, by the way, is closed, gated, closed, and she was on the outside. But around this place, it just felt cold and empty. You couldn't hear sound go out. It felt very weird, and I didn't look at her directly. I looked at her with my peripheral vision. I just, instead of standing and facing this being or lady, it might have even been a lady with a mental disability, but because of the superstition, we decided not to even approach this person. And we just kept walking straight, and until a block and a half or two later, my aunt, my uncle, my brother, all of us said, "Did you guys see that? Why did we all stop talking?" And I told them, "Did you not see the lady to our right?" I was approximately 8 to 10 feet away from this being, if it wasn't a human being. There was just this emptiness, this cold, not cold, but just emptiness in the surrounding air that I couldn't explain. By the way, there were crickets and then they stopped. There were dogs barking and then they just stopped. I don't know why, but all of the surrounding animals just went quiet. Nothing to be heard from them. And of course, we weren't going to let that ruin our evening. We went to the 4th of July for Mexico, and we were super scared when we went back, but nothing was there. We kept going to our house and just continuing on with our lives. I just want to say to all you listeners, thanks for listening and continue listening to Expanded Perspectives. Peace.
Wow. Thank you, Marcus, for sending that in. Excellent job recording and editing your encounter for us. That's pretty handy. I really appreciate that. I don't know what you saw. I do think it's pretty strange, though, that not just you, but your family members, everybody seems to have saw the woman, the strange thing across the street, and thought something was a bit odd about it. I don't know. Very cool stories. I really like those stories, especially this time of year when it's Halloween. It's good to listen to a good spooky story. So thanks again. I hope everybody liked those. I know that we did. The world truly is a bizarre place, I think. And I think more people have had strange experiences than you realize. But most just don't want to talk about it. They fear ridicule. Hopefully that is changing. I think it is. And I want to thank everyone who has shared their experiences with us over the years. And for those of you thinking about sharing your story, well, I think you should. We couldn't make this show without listeners and their stories. We wish you a happy, happy Halloween. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Pretty cool stories. I hope you like those.
It's good stuff.
It's just a coincidence that two of the stories come from Nova Scotia. I mean, it's just such a small place to get two stories called in literally a week from one another.
That's awesome.
It's pretty crazy.
That's
Chris up in Nova Scotia is talking about the Sasquatch or whatever the strange hairy bipedal creatures he saw. Justin, I have to say, Justin, you talked about filming a documentary, and in your story, you talked about taking photographs with your 75 to 200 millimeter lens. I believe you meant 70 to 200 millimeter. I have one.
Here we go.
Yes, that's right. L-glass, folks.
Here we go.
Generation 3. Yes. I mean, please send us those pictures. I'd love to see it. You said you videotaped it as well. He tried to actually catch up to it with his drone, but the batteries went dead.
I've been waiting for something like that. Imagine if you could see something like that and you had your drone out there where you could just pop it up and chase it down.
He's a documentary.
You click it over to sport mode. You'll catch it.
Documentary filmmaker. We know several. He was trying to shoot some B-roll. Saw this strange.
Saw a creature.
Like a ping pong in the air. Tried to fly up to it, but the batteries were dead.
Hey.
He said he did get video of it and pictures. Send those to the show, man.
I wonder. I feel like that, though. It seems like it's something that's a thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Thing. It's a UFO thing.
No, I mean like, some of those stories that we get about these things that they see in the air, it feels like they are like a creature, like it may not, like we've talked about the flying manta rays and the goo that falls down from the sky, all this stuff. Some of those flying things don't seem like they would be mechanical or like they're a craft. It almost seems like they're their own thing. Like it's like a bird. A bird flies, so does a plane. Right. You know what I mean? It's like this thing is here now, kind of like a flying humanoid, but this orb or whatever this ball.
It was a ball-like orb. You
whatever that thing is, it almost feels like it's maybe like a flesh. Maybe not flesh and blood is the way we know it, but some sort of something like that, like a
bee. I think it's like a drone, like you see Darth Maul deploy when he's
flies
into
cool.
the city, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. But, I mean, look, what was it? Well, he saw something, and now with David Fravor's story about the Tic Tac UFO, this was like a ping pong. I don't know what it was, but, I mean.
I dig it.
Very strange, very cool. Ryan called in from Missouri. Didn't know what it was. Thinks it was Sasquatch-like. Him and his father were hunting.
Yeah.
Never clearly saw the creature. Never really clearly wanted to see the creature.
Hey, I don't blame him.
I don't blame you. Eazy-E called in with the shadow being. And, of course, Marcos with La Lorena.
Yeah.
Very cool. If you're wondering why Marcus's story sounded auto version sounded so much better, is Marcus didn't call into the line. He actually recorded that audio himself. Edited it, and then just emailed us the MP3.
Like a boss.
So you could do that, too. You could email the show your story. If you want to write it out, you can call the hotline, or if you really have your own mic and stuff.
I'll tell you one. I'll take it even one step further. If y'all want to video yourself telling the story and send it to us, I'll stick it in these YouTube videos.
Hey, now we're talking.
See, now we're cooking.
Progress.
See, we're moving it on up. Moving it on up.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, really do appreciate all the stories that we've been getting in. There's some crazy ones.
That's the best part is like seeing other people's encounters. And I think you just recently appeared on the Stickbow Chronicles.
Yeah.
And you were talking on there. And like what you said, that's, you know, there's different platforms. So like obviously people that are into the paranormal, they follow our show as many other top shows like Monsters Among Us, Into the Fray, Mysterious Universe, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you jump platforms and now you're doing paranormal stories on a deer and traditional archery podcast,
yes.
There's people that don't know what you're talking about, never heard of stories like that. They're going to start coming on. You already told me from since appearing that all of a sudden you've been flooded.
Yeah, I've gotten some more stories, yeah.
With new stories. And I think that's my favorite part about podcasting is getting yourself out there and people sending in their stories. And I think that as popular as podcasts are becoming, with their popularity, people are opening up. People who might not have wanted to share their story are now opening up and sharing their story. And what people are finding is they're not alone. A lot of people are having similar experiences. And like I said, if you're worried about people finding out who you are, just make up an alias. It's real easy.
Yeah, and it's even more fun. Make up a really wild alias.
Make up a cool one.
Makes it even more fun.
Right?
What
would your alias be if you were going to be one?
Man, I don't know. I need to think about that. Do you have one picked out? I've given you so many names.
I've got so many, man. I don't know. I know that like oftentimes when I'm in the chat room or something, I'll go as Reese without her spoon.
Yep, that's true. I would be what I was when we, I don't even want to tell them this. So Kyle and I built one time playing a lot of Call of Duty. We built like another account and I was James Brownstains and Kyle was Bobby Brownstains.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I think I'll be James Brownstains.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Move on.
I'll go along that way.
Yeah. Well, just make up an alias.
As Kyle was talking about, I was recently interviewed on the Stickbow Chronicles with Rob and Blake. And if you're into traditional archery or bow hunting, you're going to love that podcast. They do a great job.
Yeah. And where's Blake live in Texas?
Gainesville.
Oh.
Blake lives in Gainesville, okay. And Rob lives in Idaho.
Right.
He lives up in, I believe, northern Idaho, actually, is where he's at.
Well, it makes sense now that Blake likes to public land hunt in Oklahoma because Gainesville is really close to the border.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Makes sense. Right there by it. So he can hunt here in Texas, then just hop. Like, literally, I think he's like 15 minutes from the Oklahoma border to just shoot across there, that whole thing. But yeah, so that one, I went on there and was telling a bunch of stories that I've told on here and that we were discussing and they were asking questions, Bigfoot, missing people, all this stuff, and then started getting more in there. But I found this one because I was thinking about another Idaho deal with Rob. Check this one out. Now, this took place back in 2013 from a fellow named Terry. Terry writes, this is in Minidoka County, Idaho.
Okay.
Now, it goes on to say, I wasn't there, but my son-in-law, and their friend saw a dog man. My son called me all freaked out that they had seen a Bigfoot because he knows I believe in Bigfoot. Now, my son always made fun of me for believing in them. And he asked me, Dad, can Bigfoot run on all fours? And I said, yes. Why do you ask? And he said, Dad, we just saw one while out spotlighting rabbits. So I asked him to describe what it looked like. And he said that they were hunting rabbits with a spotlight when he saw something hunched over.
Oh boy.
He said he then yelled to the others and let them know that he had seen something and then started to shine his light on it. Goes on to say that at first he thought it was a large bird because it was down like it was eating something. And I understand what he's talking about. You've seen the buzzards sometimes,
yes.
Especially when it's cold and damp in the mornings, they'll get out in the sun, open their wings up, you know, and stuff like that. Or when they're eating, they kind of hunk around. And that's what he was alluding to. Then it stood up on its hind legs, spread its arms out wide. And when the other two came to look at it, it dropped down and took off faster than anything that they had ever seen before. He said it had a dog snout and was covered in fur, that you could see it was very, very muscular. My son is 6'2", and he felt it stood as tall or taller than him. When it took off, they ran after it and watched it jump and clear a huge rock pile in one leap like it was nothing. And that scared them, and they all ran back to their car, and they got out of there. Now, I've spoken to all three, and they all had the same story and described it the exact same way.
Man.
I told my son that's not a Bigfoot because Bigfoot don't have dog snouts. I told him you saw a dog man. And it's funny that this happened around a lot of cornfields. The area also has caves and is covered in sagebrush.
Man, I got a couple of questions, not about this story, but the character in general. First of all, he's wrong about the description of Bigfoot not having a dog-like face. There are cases.
Some.
Not many, but there are cases of Bigfoot having a dog or canine-looking face.
An extended snout.
Now, but that also, could that be a person who is unaware of Dogman? And what they really saw was a dog man. They're just saying it was a Bigfoot.
Because it was upright walking.
Because they didn't know that.
Large.
I mean, look, we've talked about it many times on the show. I don't know if the sightings are increasing or are people coming forward. But 20 true, years ago, true. I never heard of any dogman sightings.
True.
Have you?
No.
And then all of a sudden there was one like in Thackerville, Oklahoma.
That's the first one I remember ever hearing was the one in Thackerville, Oklahoma, or I'm sorry, reading about Thackerville, Oklahoma, and a turkey hunter.
Right. And I remember the VHS tape that was found where the guy was faking in a ghillie suit.
Yep.
That
yep.
was supposedly
that
filmed.
That was pretty creepy, though.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Oh, dude, when I first saw that, I was like, that's a werewolf.
Yeah.
But it seems like as time has gone on, I mean, there's more and more of these sightings, much like with the Glimmer Man. So are these things more prevalent or just people are coming forward? Also, is it a skinwalker? Is it a thing that's always a wolf?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it like in the movies where a person transforms into the wolf?
Or is it a were-man? It's a wolf that turns into a man?
I mean, look, we're talking. These are crazy stories, but there's a lot of them.
Yes.
Why are they always so tall? Like, what happens if you turned into a werewolf? You're not close to 6'2". You're not 7 foot tall. Would you gain in height? Why? And then the question is, why would you gain in height?
That's what
I mean. I know this is a ridiculous question,
but you're asking the right questions.
We're arguing over a fictitious creature.
Yeah, that we don't even know. Yeah, we're speculating supposedly. Over a speculative animal that we don't not really sure how it operates. But yeah,
there
that's
are
true.
People that claim that they've seen these things. There's lots of stories on reservations where like people are like, "Yeah, we saw that," and I talked to the elders, and it's a skinwalker.
Skinwalker. It's a bad
it's
shaman.
It's a real thing. You're yeah. dead. Told the story of the old woman.
The old man and my dad's buddy Fritz. Yeah, and I've told that story, yeah.
Like a wolf or coyote. It didn't look like a werewolf, but it just looked like an actual coyote.
But it does, that is a really good point of why is it that it can, like you would think if you're going to transform into a coyote, you would be a giant coyote.
You would think.
Right? You wouldn't shrink down and then, but maybe you do.
Maybe, I mean.
But it also, man, I don't know, something about the dog man just doesn't feel like it's somebody that's changed into it. Unless it's pure evil. And like we've talked about, they do seem to be much more evil in the stories and in their lore than Bigfoot ever thought about being. And I've even covered some of the abduction cases of Bigfoot, but it just seems like Dogman's way more evil.
To me, I think it seems more like a demon. And it's manifesting itself in something that it knows would terrify you. And you somewhere along your life, you saw a werewolf movie or something that scared you. So it's going to manifest itself as that.
Or maybe, again, it is a whole nother species of something that's always been there, some evil that's always lurked in the caves and in the darkness, and we're just now.
Right, but I'm saying I definitely do not think that there are flesh and blood living pockets of werewolves.
Like no,
from the series True Blood
with
the Panther people. I just don't think that that's
it. Doesn't and thing. It doesn't even seem like Bigfoot feels that way at times.
Like it's biological and it's like a real thing.
Yeah, Dogman doesn't.
No,
Dogman doesn't.
But
feel
even
that
the
way.
People that I've met at conferences and have spoke to via email or phones. I mean, like while they're telling you the story, they realize how absurd it is.
Yes,
like they're aware of like look, I know you're not going to believe this. But this is what I saw. I can't explain it. I know how ridiculous
yes.
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's ridiculous. Where, like, if a person was truly crazy, they would be more matter of fact. The people I've talked to, they know how insane it sounds.
Yes, yeah.
Which, to me, doesn't explain what they saw, but they definitely saw something.
Yeah. It is funny when they have a little of an epiphany while they're telling the story of like, man, I just realized how ridiculously insane this story sounds. But it's also, that's almost better that way because it's the person realizing like, I can't wrap my head around why it happened or how it happened that way.
I think that's why people are more reluctant to come through with stories that are this crazy because they know how crazy it sounds.
Yes.
But if you have a story and you want to share it with us, please do not hesitate. You can email the show. expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call that hotline 888-393-BRUD. That's 888-393-2783. Tell your story. If you don't want your name used, make sure you mention that. Be as thorough as you want.
You can record and edit it and email it in. You can video it, edit it, email it in. You don't even got to edit it. You can just video yourself and send it in.
Yeah, whatever.
However you want to do it.
Share the show, you know, give us a review. Rate the show, share it with friends. Like I talked about, other platforms, people that aren't into it, they might be turned on to some of the stories. I mean, obviously, you were on the Stickbow Chronicles, and people loved it because people I don't care who you are. People love creepy stories
yes.
around a campfire, right? Even if they don't believe it.
Well, and that's pretty much the way I started the whole thing off, is the way you break the ice is when they ask, well, what do you talk about on your podcast? And a lot of people get embarrassed. And I'm like, we talk about the things that everybody loves to talk about, but nobody wants to let their friends know right. they're into.
Yeah.
That's what this all is. Everybody watching and listening, you love these kind of topics, but you don't really want everybody, you know, to work with
everybody
you
know, at your office to know
to
about
know
it,
that you're really into that kind
sure.
of stuff. And that's, you find out everybody's into it. Everybody likes a little bit of that stuff. And it's the reason that there are fictional movies that outsell documentaries. That's why, is because people like that kind of weird, strange stuff.
And I wish somebody
it's
would,
always going to be that way.
I wish somebody would come out with a really good werewolf movie. There hasn't been a good one in a long time.
No, not in a good bit. No. I've tried to watch several of the newer ones like Underworld.
Yeah.
And I just can't get into it. So I just don't even mess with it.
You're more of a like Fast and Furious guy. Filming number 11 now, I think.
We discussed that. I'm like, dude, I have never, I'm just not one of those.
I had no idea.
Speaking of, if you like acting in movies, you want to check out my
That's
acting
right.
chops. You can get on YouTube and search up, or you can follow the links we've got on our Facebook and all that stuff. Ghoultown's newest, and with Lyle Blackburn. And I'm actually a character
yeah.
in that video. Now, it's not a
it's
lot,
actor.
But I'm there. So now,
man, I can't see too good. Is that Tom Cruise
That's
right there?
Yes.
Man, when are you going to get your blue check? You're going to be verified soon, right?
I got it on IMDb. I'm going to get my blue check mark on Twitter and Insta. Yeah, look
join
at me
the
go.
Screen Actors Guild.
Right? Got to get my SAG stuff
start
going.
Paying dues and all that.
Yeah.
Speaking of paying his dues, old Justin Gaethje didn't work out too
Man.
Good with him and Khabib, right?
Nope.
Khabib retired.
Khabib put it on him and then retired. Yeah.
Can we officially say he's probably the most successful?
He's the greatest.
All right. 29-0.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, everybody, sorry, folks, I got to get something in my eye. Everybody talks a mean game, you know, he's never fought a guy like me. I'm a wrestler. And I'm like, yeah.
What is it that Donald Cerrone always says? I get it. You've done more push-ups than I did. I'm like, you don't have to talk this up. We signed the papers. We're fighting. You don't got to keep talking about it. And that was the whole thing. But yeah, Khabib's, he's good.
The man, right?
And I would retire too. His father passed away from COVID.
Yeah.
So his father passed away from all this, and his father's been his right hand and his training, his coach and training since Khabib hit the ground. And so, I mean, they had a typical, very close father-son relationship. So when Khabib's father passed, he didn't want to do it anymore. And that's what he said is he said, this will be the last time. I don't want to walk down there without him there anymore. It's done.
Good on him. I hope he stays retired. Yes. I hope he has a great life the rest of his life. I hate to see the guys that come back in like 5 years because they've blown through their money.
Yeah.
And they're sad. And then they lose. And now they got one loss on their record when it was really unnecessary.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, like I just saw, who did I see the other day that was coming back to fight again? The baby-faced assassin.
Josh Barnett is bare-knuckle fighting some dude in Russia.
I'm like, dude, Josh, just
leave it alone. He's not the baby-faced assassin anymore. That's how long it's been. He's war something.
Right, war god or something.
Yeah, something like that. That's how long ago that. You're talking about back when he won the belt in UFC when he was 19 years old.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I'm just saying, like, I love Josh. But, like, I'm just like, man, it's enough. It's not because you're just... You're getting going to give yourself brain damage.
Yeah.
It's just not necessary.
Enough's enough, yeah.
I know the guys, it's hard to give up on that dream. I know it was hard when I had to quit competing in sports.
Yeah.
Like it really was. There was days
well,
that
at
I
least
still,
you can still compete in things, just not to the very physical sports, because now I break much easier.
Dude, I was catching for Jacob
before
we recorded
here.
The show. He was, he injured his arm. I know people get tired of listening to baseball, but that's what's going on in my life, folks. He hasn't pitched to me in a while because normally he just plays with his teammates or his coaches. But he's been
laying out because he's injured.
He's injured his arm, but he's got the okay from the physical therapy and the doctor. He's good to go. We got to
throw a little bit.
So he's catching with his old man. Like, I'm not talking about throwing. I'm talking he was pitching to me. He threw about six in there, and I'm like, dude, you're going to have to stop. My hand is killing me. I'm like, dude, that's going to be bruised. At least my left hand.
Right.
But, man, all jokes aside, I hope everybody out there has a fantastic weekend. If you're out there trick-or-treating, it is going to be a full moon. It is going to be Halloween on a Saturday night. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of
blue moon.
Yeah, blue moon, two full moons in the same month. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of partying. Hey, look, I was young once. I'm not saying anything about that. Just be careful out there. There's lots of ways to get a ride home now with Uber and
Lyft. And if you see some great photos or some great costumes that fit our little niche.
Yeah, if you're kids.
Snap them up, post them up, tag us in them.
Yeah.
Or if y'all are going to something crazy, snap them up, post them up. We want to see it.
Yeah. So just be careful. There's lots of kids who be running around trick-or-treating. Wear your mask, even if it's just the a cloth one.
Yeah, for sure.
Just be careful and have fun. And like Cam said, if you have any cool pictures and stuff like that you want to send them on over. That's about all the time we have for this episode of Expanded Perspectives. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle.
He's Cam. Peace, y'all.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.